Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. We are excited to have Mr. 2020 and Carol Wingard back on the show tonight. Normally, show flow prevails, but our main theme this evening is making medicine. I spoke about making medicine today on the prayer blog over on Krabby's Beach. Animal medicine and tuning into the soul of an animal is one way I like to make medicine. How about you? The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Anxious to hear what 20 has to say today.
Yeah. Making medicine.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes. Let me just bring him right on. And Carol.
Oh,
hello there.
Good evening, Joan. Good evening, Kate. How are you both this evening?
Good evening, Kitty.
We are good. I should speak for myself. I'm doing well.
We are super. I am super.
Yes. And
I got
Carol, how's Carol
tomorrow,
doing?
20.
Carol is doing wonderful. She's in the other room listening in right now. She'll be joining us shortly. So,
good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
So you're eating nothing but wheat for the next 40 days and 40 nights?
For 40 days and 40 nights, starting on Earth Day and ending the day after Memorial Day, I'm eating nothing but weeds. I've done sort of like this before. I've done extended periods of times where I've eaten like weeds and grains, but I've never done just totally weeds. So I'm really looking forward to what I'll probably end up referring to as my 40-day food-based vision quest. So it should be a lot of fun.
Gosh, I know it will. It will change things. It will change your body. It will make you have a natural high and see things differently.
Absolutely. You know, before, even when I just ate, like, I used to call greens and grains. You know, I'd gather my greens in the morning and a handful of wheat or a handful of oats or a handful of good rice. And that's what I ate for the day, and that was always cool, but I've never done anything like this, and when I did it before, my energy soared, and all sorts of things happen whenever you stop putting putting stuff in your body you probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, I agree. It's simplifying life, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We've been sharing the thought with people recently that it's not nutrition that matters. It's not the vitamins, the minerals, the calories, the fat grams. What really matters is life supports life, and eating living food it can't help. I mean, assuming you know what you're picking, eating living food can't help but be extremely healing for you.
Mm-hmm. Chickweed. I heard you, I saw that you wrote about chickweed, and I know what it is, and I know I've had it, but can you describe what it looks like?
Cool. Chickweed right now in our neck of the woods, which is Pennsylvania, currently grows, let's say it's going to be anywhere from 2 to about 6 inches off the ground, maybe a little bit higher. The leaves are it's sort of like a viney little plant. The leaves are very simple. They're a delicate green for the most part. It's got a flower on it, it's a very small flower. It's white. It has 5 petals, but each of the petals is deeply divided. So the flower looks like it's 10 petals, but it's actually 5.
Oh.
And when you find chickweed, if you go to, I think we have some good photos up on nativeeyes.com.
Okay.
Whenever you, if we don't, let me know, and I'll make sure we toss them up tomorrow on that. The what's really nice with chickweed, it tastes like corn used to back when we were kids. The corn we get now, even from like local farmers, doesn't taste like it used to. And chickweed, you know, it literally tastes like the way corn used to whenever we were growing up.
Doesn't
wow.
taste like it used to because of all of the additives, the chemicals around.
I bet you, generally one of the things Carol and I have noticed that as we eat the wild foods, you know, not only do they remind us of stuff like we used to eat, like the chickweed tastes like corn, but also it's getting hard for us to eat normal food because it really doesn't have any flavor or substance. It's really weird. We went out for Chinese on my birthday, and happy birthday, Joan.
And happy birthday to you, Twinty.
Thank you.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
We went out for Chinese on Joan and my birthday. Carol and I went out for Chinese on Joan and my birthday, which was April 1st. And yeah, and the Chinese was great. I mean, yeah, I mean it was prepared well. It was good food. But Carol couldn't taste it because she'd eaten, I believe, a ramp or some garlic mustard or maybe both that morning. And she literally, during the whole mood, she kept saying that there's no flavor. And generally, when you're eating the wild foods, that happens to you. You know, it's really wild because we joke that we make a really interesting salad dressing. It's a little bit of Bragg's vinegar and olive oil. And that's it because we don't have to add any other spices to the dressing because the plants that we're picking have all of their unique little flavors that they add into the salad.
Mm-hmm. I think that some of the reasons why corn is so bland these days is because it's genetically engineered.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
What that means is that they've years ago, you could grow something generation after generation after generation. And, heirloom plants were the norm. And now, with corn, and I think soybeans is another one, you can only grow it one generation. And it basically is lifeless. It doesn't have the vitality that the original foods of the ancestors had, or even the food that we had when we were growing up years ago.
Absolutely.
I don't know how long ago that was, but anyway, it's the genetically engineered foods, corn. The farmers are growing that now, and, there's no cross-pollination. There's no give and take among the plants anymore like there used to be with those genetically engineered foods. So that's one reason why things don't taste the way they used to.
You know, when I think about, like, there are no shortcuts. I always try to explain to people, when we're doing a workshop or coaching or whatever, there are no shortcuts. What you can do, though, is stop making things complicated. And when I look at the food situation, you know, we've gone into such mass production farming. And, you know, literally, I mean, I'm the guy, I can go to a buffet and eat 6-7 plates. I mean, I can just pound down the food. But whenever we're doing like the wild grains and rice, for example, all I can do is like a plate, maybe a plate and a half of rice, and I'm full because of the nutritional value of what we prepare. You know, literally that life supporting life thing. And you know, it's funny because I know. Carol and I are talking about going out tomorrow and splurging a little bit since I'm going to be doing 40 days of weeds. But I know, like, if we go out tomorrow, we'll probably hit a buffet. I'll probably eat, 5-7 plates or something. And the day after, I'll be full, probably eating just a plate full of weeds, which is mm-hmm. really, it's just wild because we eat for nutrition. And, we eat to have life support us. And if we're eating dead food, we're going to eat plates and plates of the stuff. And this mass-produced stuff, like the soybeans and the corn, you know, it's mass-produced. It's empty. It's hollow. Like you said, it's not the corn like the Indians had, which actually had protein in it. You know, modern-day corn is mostly sugar. And, unless you buy something like the Dent blue corn to make cornmeal out of, you're not getting anything decent when it comes to corn anymore.
Right, right. So that's something that sort of snuck up on everybody, and I don't think anybody had a say in it. There wasn't anything like they asked the population of America, because this is only happening in America, unless we're importing this crappy food. But, nobody had a say in it. It just snuck up on everybody. And then there's this irradiated. Things are irradiated. And I don't really exactly understand that process. But I know, once again, it's lifeless food, and it lacks vitality.
Absolutely. Yeah, life supports life. That's what we got to remember, you know, and just get back to it, whether it's growing your own vegetables or eating weeds. And, life supports life, you know, just like people. You know, if we have a room full of people that are truly alive and dedicated to living, it's amazing, you know, the kind of mastermind that can happen if you do that versus if you get some people that are just buzzkills, like the GMO corn or the irradiated stuff. Just wild.
Yeah, so you're going to be eating foods that are completely full of vitality for the next 40 days and so forth, and that will enliven you beyond anything that we probably even know.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, something wild and crazy to do, you know, something which I've been putting off for a couple of years. You know, Carol and I have talked about how I used to do the weeds and the greens and grains is what I called it. But, why not? You know, I'm 44, I think. I'm 44 years old now. And, how will that impact the rest of my life if I take 40 days and literally just put only good stuff into the body? I'm
wow,
curious.
44. 44 is a good number.
This is your angel year.
My angel year. Tell me about that. I don't know anything about that.
I firmly believe that 44 is a sign of an angel. Years ago, I started following 44, is what I call it. And for me, it just kind of came out of my own prayer meditation. And then my kids, of course, picked up on it, and everybody starts looking for 44s. I mean, I have accepted jobs because there was a 44 on the door. But anyway, when my son married, my daughter-in-law called me one day, and she said, "Do you know that 44 is a sign of an angel?" And I said, "Well, I always took it to mean God loves me," is the way I read it. And she said, "No, she had been listening to something on public radio, said 44 was a sign of an angel." And as time has gone on, I have heard that over and over again, that the 44 is really a significant number.
So, truly awesome.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
We keep bumping into 144 and 1444.
Mm-hmm.
Just two numbers which, it's just amazing. They pop up everywhere in our life. We just started... about 14 days ago, we picked up a new client for our website business, and I'm setting up his stuff, and the number of his servers came back as 1444.
Yeah.
And it's nonstop. It's just right. Absolutely nonstop the way that number, or 144 or 1444 shows up. And
so if you start paying attention, you'll see every time you look at your clock. And I read it as a blessing every time, but. You know, look and see what time it is, and, you know, it'll be 4:44, you know. And my
nice.
Sister and I email each other that all the time. It's 4:44, and I'm emailing you. But,
nice.
Yeah, it is. It's always, and I'm not sure what the meaning is. I know there's a holiness to it. And I don't mean attached to the number. I mean it is a reminder to us of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Another good one is 33. You know, 33 is a big number for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And, remember Leonard Lasko, who came on the show? He's coming back on at the end of May. He's so into 33 that whenever Tom and I talk about Leonard, all of a sudden a 3333 will come driving by on a license plate. It's
right.
Hysterical. Or I'm a 33 because I was born on March the 3rd. So... automatically, because I was born on 3-3, my stat status was elevated in the eyes of Leonard Lasco. I thought that was hysterical. But
well, it's I mean, the reason I started it in the first place, I was in a job that I hated, and I was doing math. I know Kate's heard this before. And I decided every time I saw a 44 that I would realize I was a child of God, you know, whatever.
How cool. And, yeah.
But the interesting part of it, looking back, because it has become a part of our lives, is that I saw it as I decided something, but really it was one of those divine ideas, one of those sparks.
Mm-hmm.
I was connected to, I think, like connected to the angels in a new way or something, because, you know, who would ever do such a thing? It was the year I was born, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was desperate. I was looking for a way to stay in this job. I hated. But my prayers were answered without me even being aware that they were. Here I am with a 44. Yeah. Just really.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I notice in our lives here, one of the really neat things that show, by the way, I'm looking right now, the Vision Quest Radio, there's the host dial-in number.
Mm-hmm.
The host dial-in number for Vision Quest Radio has a lot of 44s in it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool when we realize that, you know, I know I'm not my thinker. I am nowhere near as silly, brilliant, goofy as my thoughts are.
Right.
So I don't claim to own any of my thoughts. They're just there. They're entertainment for me and for you guys and whoever. And the neatest thing, you know, when people meditate, they try to silence their mind. And I notice a lot of times I'll meditate and it'll be totally silent, and then these thoughts show up, and I just notice the thoughts and go, cool, I couldn't think of that stuff. I couldn't connect those things together. I could, you know, when the inspirations show up, I'm not that brilliant. You know, it's just, yeah, I think they're all gifts. You know, and like you said, the 44, it would be cool if we decided those things, but really, like you said, it's sort of like they pick us up,
right?
And the thought shows up right. To let us know about that,
right? And it's those things. It's more of those things that happen in the spiritual world that we don't understand, and we may never, but they're given to us as little gifts. It's like little presents.
Yes.
I can't tell you the times I have looked up and seen a 44 and it gave me hope. Now,
yes.
That sounds crazy to anybody else, but it's, to me, it's a God, what I call a God gift. It's a, hey, Joan, it's okay. Everything's okay, you know. God is in charge and all is well. We know the world is a good place. Yeah.
It's like a signpost where
right.
When you see these things, it just makes you feel
good word.
That, you,
yeah.
That you're on the sign or that you're on the right path.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. On the right path. I like that. Yeah. I'm right where I need to be. And you think about it, and we've said it over and over again, but this show is one of those. It's like, who in the world would think we would do such a thing, you know? And here
yeah.
We are. I mean, that's, you know, we did not do it of ourselves, for sure. It is not.
Well, yeah, like you say, an idea came out of nowhere to do the show or to do anything, any number of different things. And, you know, you don't know where it comes from, but if you don't act on it, you know that you're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
So you act on it, and then, yeah. And here we are, and we're
here
still doing it.
Here we are, and Winnie's on the line. It's like, yeah, and there's something about that where Pat O'Brien draws that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is inside of him. We'll never understand all of those kinds of things, but you know, people that meet somehow within his groups become that kind of, it's almost like you have a holy connection with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honestly think if Twinnie and Carol rode through town and called me one day and said, hey, Joan, we're here, you know, I'd say, yeah, come on, let's make some coffee. Well, you know, who would have ever thought that that's just astounding to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the three of us are from three different parts of the country and don't know each other personally and have such a strong connection.
Well, I'm coming to meet you in person tomorrow.
Oh,
isn't that hysterical?
I cannot
believe it. Oh my gosh.
I get tickled every time I send you an email today and put "see you tomorrow" on it. I get tickled. I think that did not just happen.
Oh gosh. Yeah, it's hysterical, really. And believe it or not, we will be giggling and laughing the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I fully expect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be very interesting and fun.
Healing,
and fun.
Very healing. And healing,
yeah,
I think.
Healing, yeah.
Nothing is more, healing than laughter.
Right. Absolutely. We're just going to go have fun. The other thing I thought about, too, and I think I sent to you, was the one at Daily Word today that was talking about staying in the moment.
Yeah.
And, this whole next few days will be about being in the moment. And we don't have time to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But stay right in the moment.
What might help?
Ridiculous.
Hmm? I'm thinking that it will be a lesson in how to continue it. I mean, not that I think we probably do pretty well with staying in the moment. And certainly, you do, 20, and Carol, and I think we all do. But it's something that we could just do a little bit better at all the time.
Yeah, I have to work on it. It is something I have worked on for a long, long time. Learning to stay in the moment, enjoy the moment for what it is.
Yes.
Not mess it up with a bunch of worry or even planning for the future, but to stay, enjoy it. And I think I said this last week, but I've had it on my mind for the last few weeks. It was my friend who was dying, and she called me from the hospital, and she said, "You know what I miss the most is standing in front of my kitchen sink washing dishes. But to enjoy that moment for what it is."
Wow, you know what? That is inspiring, because I can bet, or I can't bet 100%, but I bet you the times that she was washing the dishes, she may not have really been as present as she would have liked.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what she was saying, without realizing, at the time, and of course, back in those days, that was back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even talk that way. But
mm-hmm.
looking back on it, yes, that's basically what she was saying, was how I wish I had enjoyed those moments more.
Mm-hmm.
Treasured those, because she talked about putting her hands in the soapy water and enjoying the cleanliness and the feeling of it, just the feeling of the warm water on her hands.
A lot of people have that taken away from them because of the dishwasher.
Right. Well, yeah, I do, for one, but I still wash a good many things by hand. But
yes.
But, yeah, just enjoying the actual, the time. Did we lose 20?
No, I'm definitely still here. I'm enjoying the show.
Okay. You got real quiet all of a sudden, the dishwashing conversation.
Wow. Oh, that's really what it's all about. It's that nothing has to be a chore. Everything and everyone is an invitation to come back home.
Mhm. Which reminds me of our topic this evening of making medicine.
Yeah, I want to hear you talk about that some, please. Like with the animals, we're gonna go gator hunting. We're going to go. Looking for deer at night, but we're going to be looking for the gator in the backyard next week.
Wow.
Yeah. Talk to us about animal medicine some.
Hey, how about if I talk about animal medicine, plant medicine, and people medicine?
Talk.
Okay, yeah.
Sweet. Making medicine is very different than taking medicine. So I want to start there. When we take medicine, often because there's something that we want to change. So a buddy of mine just ran into a problem. He lost some of his hair. So, of course, he wants to take some medicine or get something. And when I say medicine, it could be a pharmaceutical, it could be an herb, it could be anything. But he wants to take some medicine to help with that problem. Making medicine is something very, very different. And making medicine is what happens when there's a coming together with another. For example, if we were going to make echinacea tincture, I'll start with the plant side. If we were going to make echinacea tincture, we would need some echinacea, we would need some water, and we'd need some alcohol. And those three things brought together and kept together over a period of 30, 60, 90 days literally creates a medicine. It creates something that is far beyond just the echinacea, just the water, just the alcohol. It's the same with people. If we come together as people, like the three of us tonight and the listeners, if we come together as people, you know, literally like the echinacea, the water, and the alcohol, something shows up that's greater than the sum of the parts. And that's what making medicine is all about. You know, we have one of the medicine animals that shows up in my life is the red-tailed hawk. Mm-hmm. And for most people, it's just a red-tailed hawk. But when the red-tailed hawk shows up in my life, usually it shows up in conjunction with specific events and also with my being aware of that. So literally there's something greater than the fact that there's a hawk flying toward the west and me looking at him. There's something deeper that comes together than just the component parts whenever we're making medicine.
Like a totem?
Yes.
Okay.
And like a personal relationship with it. You brought in something really cool to the call earlier, Joan, which was you see 44s. And they're not just 44s. 44s for you are associated with angels, with the divine, with a reminder, with the inspiration of understanding what they are. So the 44 is like water. Or alcohol, or echinacea. But the 44 with you actually becomes a medicine. It actually becomes a message. And what's cool is the listeners and me, too, I shouldn't go out and start looking for 44s. I get to let whatever needs to find me, which is 144 or 36.9 or 27.9. Those are three that always show up for me. And they all add up to 9. So that's my thing. I didn't choose it. It chose me, and I just got to be fortunate enough to notice, almost everyone significant in my life close to me here physically has a birthday of 36, that adds up to 36, which adds up to 9. A lot of significant dates in my life add up to 36.9. A lot of weird things in my life show up with the number 144 attached. It's just weird, but it's my medicine. It's a bunch of numbers, that would be the wrong ingredients, but what really matters is what happens whenever it's taken as a whole, like the echinacea tincture.
Mm-hmm. What is the flower, and I'm jumping a little bit, where does echinacea come from?
Where does echinacea come from? Do you mean like what does the plant look like? Or?
Yeah. Does it have a bloom?
It's got a deep purple flower.
Yeah. Okay, I had some in the yard. My cousin, Whitey's cousin, gave me. See, I know that's what she was saying. You take it for everything, colds, whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what's cool. I'm glad you said it exactly like you did. You take for it for everything. My friend Granny Earth was giving a talk this past Saturday, and somebody asked, what is this weed good for? And Granny said, let's find out. You know, Granny wrote a book. It's Do-It-Yourself Weed Medicine. And so Granny opens up her book because she doesn't want to leave anything out. And she basically, okay, this plant is good for, and Granny reads through 15, 16 things. And it was really cool because, literally the healing plants that are around us, going back to the 7 secrets of plant medicine, what you need grows close to your house. Even if it's a gift and you plant it, it grows close to your house. Even if you, go to the store and buy it because you're attracted to it, it's going to get next to your house however it needs to. And it's really cool because echinacea is one of those plants that's good for just about everything. So we don't ever take a plant to cure something. That's taking medicine. You know, making medicine is noticing, you know what, I've got a lot of chickweed in the yard. I've got a lot of garlic mustard in the yard. I'm going to make a salad out of these buggers. I've got a lot of coltsfoot in the yard. I'm going to dry some because either I'm going to need it or somebody that I take care of is going to need it. It's really wild because if we approach it that way, it's not like, okay, I have a health condition I want to treat. That's taking medicine. Making medicine is just noticing this is what the divine has put in my life. This is what I've been physically given.
But
I tell you what.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you a really funny story. You guys know who Dr. Hugh Len, also known as E. Haleakala, you guys know who he is?
Yes.
No.
Ho'oponopono, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the cute little Ho'oponopono guy.
Okay.
So years ago, I'm talking to him on the phone. And talking with him is an absolute trip. He's definitely a medicine man. You know, medicine men tend to giggle a lot and, you know, almost make no sense in a logical way.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm talking with E. Haleakala, and we're having an interesting conversation, and we both get quiet for a moment, and he starts to laugh like a 3-year-old little boy. And I'm like, what do you got? And he goes, what you got to do is repeat in your mind, I chew watercress. And I'm thinking, okay, I chew watercress. And he's like, you can eat watercress, but you also want to just hold in mind, I chew watercress. And I said, okay, cool. Well, what really floored me about that conversation was the day before, one of my best friends in the whole world gave me a watercress plant, and I planted it right outside my front door. What a hoot.
Oh my gosh, that's great. And I love watercress, don't you? Wow.
Oh, it's a wonderful plant. Yeah, it's so cool. And so here's a watercress plant right outside of my house, given to me by one of my best friends. And there's this goofy little Hawaiian guy, I think he was in California when I was talking to him, you know, that's what showed up on his screen. So it's like, okay, how cool is this? You know, how many miracles? Yeah, you know, it's just a wild universe we live in.
Did that plant really take off then? I mean, I bet it did.
You know, it lasted for about a year. I don't think it came up the following year, but it was a tremendous gift. Yeah, it was really cool because when it comes to the whole philosophy of making medicine, it was my friend Dale giving me the plant. It was E. Haleakala giggling like a 3-year-old and just screaming about, I chew watercress, I chew watercress. I mean, it was a hoot. And me sitting here in my chair like I'm talking to you guys right now, I'm sitting in the same spot talking to E. Haleakala, and it's like, how cool is this? It's not just about the Ho'oponopono. It's not just about the watercress or Dale, who gave me the plant. It's about the whole thing. All of it coming together is so much more divinely funny and so much more of a divine gift than just a plant or just E. Haleakala or just whatever.
That's so cool.
Yours didn't come. Because I'd forgotten about the echinacea until you started talking. And realized I hadn't seen it in several years.
Mm-hmm.
But it bloomed out there for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone.
Well, 20, as you have mentioned before, these plants are there as long as you need them. And then they move on, or you don't need them anymore, and then they no longer grow there. And something else comes along that you need. Yeah.
Well, you know what's really cool? I think I mentioned on the show a month or two ago about what you need always grows close to your hut. And right outside of the Vision Quest Radio Studios here, this was my father-in-law's bedroom for a number of years. And he needed two plants, and those two plants were violet and dandelion. And there were more of those outside of these windows than I thought was humanly possible. Now, what's really amazing, several years ago, Steve went to be in a nursing home, but he just died this past December, I believe, December or January. What's really wild is now, I mean, it's violet season here again in Pennsylvania, and the violets are moving down through the yard. The violets are actually right now moving down toward the creek in our backyard. So it's sort of like, you know, Steve has gone on to whatever his next thing is, and the violets are doing the same thing. The violets are literally moving down, like, you know, every year they move, you know, further and further down in the yard. It's truly wild, and I'd love to, you know, I'd love to try to make up a story that good. I couldn't. It's just so cool to watch.
Yeah, we have them right outside, all through my front yard, and they've never grown there before. So I'm trying to think of, well, I'm just allowing that to happen and enjoying it because they are so beautiful and fragile. And well, actually, these look pretty hardy too. Very hardy.
Yeah. Tell you what, eat them. The best thing with the best thing with violets, don't cook them. They're too gentle to be cooked. Just get those buggers, and you can eat them one by one or mix them in with a salad. Violets and chickweed make an awesome salad. You know, eat them up. I mean, gosh, they're just a tremendous gift. And
you all not cut your grass?
My neighbor cuts part of my grass. A long time ago, somebody stole my lawnmower. And I am quirky. I am just an absolute riot. Like I said, none of my thoughts are mine. I just watch them. They're just a hoot. My lawnmower gets stolen. It's a year old. And in my mind, a lawnmower lasts 5 years. So I decided I'm not cutting my grass for the next 4 years. I am not buying another lawnmower. I totally lost it when it came to that, you know. And so Carol said, "What are you going to do?" I says, "I'm going to dig up the front yard, because I don't care about the backyard." So, yeah, well, I care about it, but I didn't care if it grew because nobody would see it. So I dig up the front yard. We plant this amazing flower garden. And then suddenly the neighbor says, "Hey, I got this push mower, I got this ride mower. How about if I cut your backyard?" I'm like, "Cool, man, that's great." So our neighbor is a great guy. He swipes through our yard in like 3 minutes and does most of the back. The front, had the flower garden in for a couple years. This year, we're doing straw bale gardening. And that showed up as a bunch of weird little godwinks or divine coincidences or whatever. So this year, we're doing straw bale gardening in the front yard. And what's really cool with doing that, again, the whole idea of making medicine is about coming together. And when let's say at least three things come together, there's always something that results which is much greater than the sum of the parts. We'll do the straw bale gardening. I'll film it. Carol will take photographs of it. We'll get a ton of good food out of it, you know, being in the form of weeds and also vegetables. But also what will happen, and I'll guarantee this because it's happened before, people are going to stop and ask us what the heck we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to make friends. You know, we're going to make articles out of it, maybe make a product or two out of it. We'll have food out of it. We'll make friends out of it. And it's all about making medicine, that coming together and just seeing what happens when I decide to spend $35 on straw bales instead of, you know, spending $35 to cut the grass. It's wild.
So how many years has it been that you haven't had a lawnmower? Is it going on 5 years yet?
You know what? I briefly had a lawnmower for 1 year. My friend Dale, who had the local pawn shop, he gave me a mower. And it lasted like half a season. It was a good mower. It was a solid little mower. But for whatever reason, it didn't last. He also gave me a weed whacker, which lasted about a season. You know, I used that to do a little bit of trim work. But it's wild. I just don't get along with lawnmowers and weed whackers for whatever reason. So, besides that tiny little window, and I probably used the lawnmower maybe 4 times, it's just wild.
Yeah. Oh, and Carol was mentioning evening primrose. They are so cool at dusk. They all come blooming out. There's nothing more magical than that in the world.
We used to come home. We have a street light. I believe it's across the street where it's located at, or actually just up a little bit. And we would come back late at night, and we live right on the bend of a road. And when we're coming down the road here to the yard, literally you'd see the street light, then your headlights would have all those nuclear yellow flowers of the evening primrose. And gosh, it was just beautiful. It was a great little welcome home.
Oh my gosh, it is just totally magical.
Is that similar to the moon vine?
Good question. I've never really got my mind wrapped around what moon vine is.
And I don't have any this year. Isn't that interesting? But I love it. It's poison to the dogs, I think, somebody said.
Which is probably, they probably don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't have it this year, and I've always had moon vine.
Hey, that's where your name comes from?
Mm-hmm.
How cool. How did moonvine show up in your life?
It's a vine, and the bloom is the size of a head of cabbage, say, a little smaller.
Wow.
White, pure white, and smells like baby powder.
Oh.
And you sit, I would sit on the deck. I mean, it was growing all over my deck. I would sit on the deck and watch them open in the evening.
Well, it has to be evening primrose. It does.
You sit and just watch them open, and then they close. You know, they're gone. The next day, they're closed again. But you could sit out there on the back and count. That's what I would do, is sit out there and count my blooms. And then my neighbor got into it, and we both got into the moonvine for a while. And you need to count 14, 20 blooms of those things. I mean, they're gorgeous.
Wow.
But, and it's a miracle to me. I mean, it's just a total miracle to watch.
It sounds like it is primrose family.
Yeah, it does. When you were talking, that's what I was thinking. It sounds very similar. It's a beautiful big white bloom.
Well, it sounds like it's a southern plant.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And it spreads everywhere. And it's like, this stuff is like, it just spreads like wildfire. It was, that's how my neighbor got it, was out of my yard. And it showed up in her yard all of a sudden. Volunteer, you know. But haven't seen it in several years now.
I just Googled moonvine. It looks like it's pretty different from the primroses. What's really cool, the first thing that shows up on Google are image results. There's like four little images. Then there's a website. And then right under that is you. So you are the second or the third that shows up if you Google moonvine.
That is so funny.
That's funny.
Oh.
That is funny.
Top five in Google.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. But I love them. They look like very thin tissue.
Wow. Yeah, the primrose are real small.
Hey, hello there.
Hi.
This is Sid, my sister. How are you?
Hi, Sid. Good. How are you doing? Well, I've been listening about this plant, and we have something here that's called 4 o'clocks. Now, I don't know if 4 o'clock's kind of a common name, and it has a different name like the one you're talking about, but it comes out in the evening, and it blooms all night, and then it goes in the morning. The flowers, you know, close up. And we call them 4 o'clocks, and it sounds like they're similar to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They start spreading around. And it's interesting, too, because they don't show up until June. All of a sudden, they come out of the ground. And in the meantime, I plant tulips and daffodils and things. And then pretty soon, the whole garden is taken over with these, and they go until the frost. And they bloom all night.
I'm looking at the 4 o'clocks, and they are smaller than the moonvine.
It sounds like what you're talking about sounded big. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I mean, that's just miraculous to sit and watch something bloom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful meditation, isn't it? Wow.
Because mm-hmm. I used to have morning glories.
That.
Yeah. Morning glory and moonvine together. So that in the morning you had the morning glories all over the place, and in the evening you had the moonvine.
Oh, boy.
It was beautiful
at the time. Yeah.
I need to do that again, actually. But the 4 o'clocks, and they do this in the evening also?
In the evening. They bloom in the evening, and they stay open all night.
Wouldn't
they close up in the morning.
Fun to mix them all. Do moonvine and morning glory and 4 o'clock.
And
have all of them.
See what takes over.
Yeah. Because I love watching that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching an aquarium. You ever had an aquarium?
No,
I haven't. To me, that's just the most relaxing thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I don't have one anymore.
Yeah.
But,
watching fish, yeah.
Sit and watch those fish in that aquarium and just totally relax. It drops your, and that's the same thing I did on the deck with the moonvine, but it drops your stress level down. Puts things in order, kind of.
That's right.
I think that's what the aliens are doing with us. You know, I don't think they're here to experiment or take over. I think we're just therapy.
We're just entertainment.
Oh yeah! Hey, look at them all sit in traffic. How crazy is that? You know, I mean. Look at them drink coffee all day and whiskey all night. Oh my gosh, we are such a hoot.
Yeah, look at those serious people down there. My God, they're all furrowed brow and they're all in a hurry. I mean, what the heck is that?
Exactly. You know, I think about today we passed this young guy on the trail. We were out doing our weed walk on the trail today. And I mean, you could just tell. I mean, he was like heavy. I mean, it was like he was serious and heavy. And it's like, dude, you know, you're like 20, 25 years old. You have nothing to be serious about. I'm sorry, you know. And I do the same thing. If I get too serious or heavy, I just go, okay, what would I tell myself? If I was 65 looking back, what would I say? And it would be, hey, you know, you had nothing. You know, just chill. You know, be appreciative of the youth that you have, the energy, the love.
Well, the same could be true when you're 80. Hey, dude, you're 80. What do you have to be serious about?
Oh, yeah.
True.
Absolutely.
Well, and looking back from here, and I've hit the big 6-6 here lately, but the looking back and regretting those hours, ruining those hours of worry and anxiety, and life's just too short for it.
So 20, you just turned 44, and Joan, you turned 66. Now, what kind of synchronicity is that?
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
So if you do the difference between 44 and 66, it's 22, which comes down to that whole
20.
You got 20, and you know, you multiply it by 2, you get 44. Wild, you know.
Well, 22 is my number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How cool
totally.
Is that?
22s and 33s, yeah. Yeah.
I'm totally into 22s. My husband's into 33. But, those numbers and everything else. And I like that idea of coming together to make medicine. That is just a really cool concept. So that's what we're going to do with the alligators, Joan. You called that Gator Lake. It sounds like there's more than one gator out there. It sounds like there's a whole slew of them.
Well, I've only seen the one and her babies every year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, and Randy did say she had several babies out there last week. He didn't mention seeing her. He mentioned seeing the babies.
I bet they're so adorable.
Yeah.
Well, you know that she's not too far behind. That's for sure.
Oh, you better believe she's hiding in the bushes somewhere.
I know that when I lived out in the Pacific Northwest, and Sid was there too, my sister there, the thing about bears is that they're so protective of their children that if you get anywhere near them, you better climb a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that, you can't even guarantee that they won't get you when you're up there. But anyway, I would think the same would be true of an alligator. And I was reading the symbology of the alligator, and one of the main things, one of the many things, but they're very strictly maternal and fiercely protective of their babies. So
yeah, well, because there are so many enemies, you know, that could attack their babies. I mean, they got to take care of them for them to survive.
Now that picture that Kathy or Randy took of the alligator that's up on the prayer blog today. That alligator doesn't really look very big. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a huge creature.
But, well, you just seen the top of him, too, but probably 6 feet, something like that.
Well, I'm amazed by the stealth of that creature, the quiet, stealthy. They're very hidden, and I would think it would take, it would be kind of tuning in to see them. I mean, they could actually be there, and you might not even tune into them. It's kind of like seeing, it is kind of like seeing an extraterrestrial or something.
Well,
because you have to,
looking for the babies is that way. You know how you look at them, and I can't think of, but you know how you find objects in a picture?
Yes.
You know, you have to, you know, you have to look for the object in a picture. It's
yeah.
that way, and once you spot them, then you're fine. But a lot of times, you've got to find them. You know, now that big mama gator will come up on the bank. We've seen her come up on the bank.
Well, that looks like the river that flows by my house.
That was interesting that you said that, because it's a very small lake, and this is the end of the lake. So,
I see.
You know, we're on the very end of it. But, I'll tell you the other thing I think, and I'm real anxious to see you and Kathy do, because I think people like you and like Kathy call to the animals from your insides, from your soul. I've seen Kathy Adams do it 1,000 times, where she stands on the edge of the ocean and here comes a dolphin. You know, it's like they answer her.
Yes, absolutely.
And it makes you want to cry. You know, you just want to weep because it's so beautiful. And to have the two of you together, I think, you know, it's just going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
To see the dolphins and the... And the gators. I mean, you can go down there for a week and not see one. I don't think we'll have that experience. I think we'll see all kinds of animals because of having the two of you with me.
First of all, we're calling them in right now. We're calling them in.
Calling them in.
Even before we get there, and that's something that is interesting.
That's ancient. Yeah, it's ancient and so true. You know.
Mhm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soul connection almost. It's another one of those things that is beyond us, like the 44.
Yes.
And I do think there are people that, and when Betty and I were there one time, we listed every animal that we saw or heard, just for fun to keep up with it while we were there for 3 days, and I think we need to do that too. It's just keep a running list from woodpeckers to frogs to gators and just list them all and just see, because each one is a gift. And that's what Betty and I were saying that time, was that each one was a gift. They came to greet us and, you know, thank us for being there and us thank them for being there. And it's quite an experience.
Well, I would assume that it's like a natural life preservation there on Seabrook.
Yes, it is.
Island.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Is it
and
actually? Is it an official, wildlife preservation, or is it just that's what it is basically?
It's just that's what the rule is, I think, Kate, because you'll see bobcat or foxes. I mean, I've seen little foxes run right beside the porch. But you do not, you know, the rule is you do not interrupt the animals. You're living in their space.
Oh, that's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a perfect place to be.
No, it is to me. It is. My dream is to spend the rest of my life there. I love it. It's just interesting. And I love, I enjoy it here because there's always some kind of birds around, especially. But
Yes. Don't you live on a golf course?
We live down the street.
I mean, golf courses are amazing places for wildlife.
Beautiful places.
Yeah. So where I live is I border, of course, live on the river, but border a wooded area that in the wintertime, especially, you can walk up to a golf course, which is just amazing. You can kind of sneak up there with the dog every now and then and not get caught. And then, which they hate, you know. But then beyond the golf course, there's some more wooded areas, and then you come across a 500-acre Lancaster County Park, it's called, which is the wildlife that moves through here. And sometimes, you know, I'll go outside and I sense something, and I'll look across the river and I'll see about, say, 60 to 100 deer, and it's once again like tuning in. You may not see it if you're not tuning into it, but first of all, you feel it. It feels like an etheric, otherworldly feeling, and it seems to me like deer are not really of this world half the time to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're different.
I read
but
a
I think,
from, yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, a lady was talking about the same, and I'll make it quick, but she had a stressful day at work and slipped off to a park like that, and obviously a wildlife preserve. I mean, she was sitting in this antique cabin, sitting on the porch, just thinking, and she got so lost in her thoughts that she lost track of time and looked up, and she had like 75 deer looking at her.
Ooh.
Wow. Beautiful.
I mean, I would have wept for hours, you know. But,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, we draw them. I believe that. And we draw them as we need them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They represent family.
Peace. Yeah.
Fear. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a peace
mm-hmm.
there. They make me feel peace. Dolphins do, too. It's a real peace gift.
So much connection between the whole animal kingdom, really, that... it's hard to make distinctions.
Well, and we haven't touched the surface. You know, I don't believe we as a society have even started to understand what the... that's why I've been so fascinated with Bev and her totems. You know, all of that, and then it's exactly what Twenty is saying, and we do connect. But all of it is being aware, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is.
Just about being aware.
So, 20, do you actually have a totem of animals that are significant to you?
The most significant one's the red-tailed hawk. You know, there's a couple others that tend to show up, but the red-tailed hawk and I just seem to have a lot going on. Same thing with the deer, you know. I've spent a lot of time just walking in the woods with deer, and it's just cool, you know. Those are the biggies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking. I guess I can't choose alligator as my totem because I'll never really see them very much. But this would be the first time in my life I've ever seen an alligator.
Wow! How cool is that?
And my niece said your daughter Heidi wrote on the prayer blog today that she used to live in Florida and saw a lot of alligators and had a lot of dreams about them. And then did you see that? And then now it seems like when she dreams about them, she now feels that the significance is that they're trying to tell her something, maybe become more courageous, or probably there's a maternal thing there because they are into survival. There's a maternal thing. They're exquisitely stealthy. I mean, I think that stealthiness is a true signature for those of us who still have to work out in the world. And instead of getting involved in all the stupid politics and people constantly complaining about the organization, it would be wise to adapt alligator medicine, and that would be to just sort of glide through the environment and tune into the patients, you know, the people who are there who need me, and just disregard the rest of it, because for me, I'm not going to be there that much longer, really, in the scheme of things. And I've never really gotten that caught up in the politics, but boy, I'll tell you, as soon as you sit down with somebody, they just start complaining. I heard this great quote. You can either complain. There's three ways you can change the world. You can complain, you can go the extra mile, or you can create a whole new highway.
I like
nice.
That.
I like that, too. So I think I'm going to, I have to give a talk about complaining in the workplace, and I think I'm going to adapt that saying for the talk and try to make people laugh a little bit because they're so damn serious. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that happened. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that happens where I work, too. I got an interim position 1 year as a full-time contracted teacher. And I got there, and it was almost, and everybody is always wanting those full-time contracted jobs. And I felt like when I got there, it was like going to heaven and hating everybody and finding out everybody hates it there, you know. And here's all these people who wanted this, and I get there and they complained constantly. They never stopped, and they still do. They're still there complaining. I fortunately only had to do that for 1 year.
Yeah, that is fortunate.
It is fortunate, yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, where's the gratitude? I think that we have to have a little bit more gratitude about where we are, no matter where we are. And I think that's what is lacking in those environments. People have forgotten that they're there for another reason besides just complaining and so forth.
They've also forgotten how much they wanted it.
Yeah.
See, to begin with. That to me, that's what we often have to do is remember how happy we were to have this happen for us when they were all happy to be hired. They're all ecstatic about that, and they're all grateful that they were no longer unemployed or where they were before when they applied for it. But now they get into it for a while, and the next thing you know, all they can do is complain.
But then, right. To me, when you get into something like that, and I've been into many, you have to make a game out of keeping track of how many complaints or keeping track, you know, kind of keep it a little private. You have to make a game out of something like that or you can't stand it.
Right. Well, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed something very interesting, and that is that the people who really wanted it had a kind of a life of freedom before they get it, where,
right,
you know, they don't have to do the bullshit of figuring out vacation times because they basically can go on vacation whenever they want. And maybe they don't have insurance or something, but maybe their husband does, and you know, stuff like that. And then they get the job, and suddenly they feel this closing in of the corporation. You know, the corporation is coming in to strangle them. And I understand they've kind of lost their freedom. Although freedom is a state of mind, it's not has nothing to do with being in these environments and feeling like they are doing me in, because that's really not the way it is. You're doing yourself in by thinking they're doing you in, basically. Well, believe it or not, we've come to the end of our hour, and that was very fast, I must say.
Yeah,
very fast
pleasant.
Hour.
Yeah, it was happy and fun, and I would stay on for another hour, except I better pack my bag.
Please do that. I will see you tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to be late. Love you all.
Time. Yes,
thank
trip.
You.
Okay,
yeah,
fun time. Talk to you later.
Talk to you,
thank you, guys.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Twin.
Bye. Thank you very much. I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child, Klaus B. Jensen. You can go to musicformotherandchild.com and buy his music. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. Thank you.
Thank you.